All right. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another Lure Lab here on the Sirius Angler Network. As always, I am your host, the captain, Andrew Full. We have a really cool episode for you guys today. We have the owner of Clutch Swim Bait Company coming on, Josh Plaides. And we're going to be diving into the four glide baits that he offers over at Clutch Swim Bait Company. We're going to talk about when to throw them, where to throw them, and the best conditions to get bites. Here coming into the shallow bite period, so post-spawn fish, there's shad spawn going on in parts of the country right now. And we also have some pre-spawners that are moving up to spawn that will eat glide baits up here in the Northeast and probably even the upper Midwest. So we're going to dive into the four glide baits that Clutch Swim Bait Company offers. We're going to chat here with Josh when we bring him on and just dive right in. We know if you paid attention to the Bassmaster Elite on Lake Murray here this past weekend, there were some big fish caught by Patrick Walters, and I believe Trey McKinney also put a couple key fish in the boat for them. And the key one is Patrick with the win, if I remember correctly. I did a terrible job paying attention to the Elite Series event at Murray. But so I stop rambling real quick. Anything that we talk about that is available on Omnia will be linked down below. And if you're new here on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. And if you're on your favorite MP3 platform or podcast platform and it allows you to leave a review, please do so. And let's get Josh on here. Hey, Josh, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How about yourself?
We're surviving. My hands hurt. My face hurts because we talked a little bit offline and the viewers know I've been sick for about a month and a half now, but been catching a ton of smallmouth. And I know it makes a lot of people jealous that we live in an awesome place up here, but yeah. How are things down there and where are you located, by the way?
They're going great. So I'm down in Kansas City. We're on the Missouri side, quick little jump, skip, and a hop down to Lake of the Ozarks, Truman, Table Rock, all that stuff. That's kind of the lakes that I fish a lot. Definitely jealous of you guys and your smallmouth up there. Like, I see pictures all the time, and it's just the smallmouth look like so much fun.
Well, if you ever want to take a break from making glide baits, you're always welcome to come up for a few days if I have a gap in my schedule. So
I appreciate it. Yeah,
we do have some big fish that will eat glide baits in New York State. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
New York's always one of those bucket list states where it's like you see all the videos and stuff of like the elites going to Champlain and St. Lawrence River over the years. And it's like, man, I really want to make it up there at some point for sure.
Well, it's funny. They go to like the big crown gems right, of New York State. But there's a lot of little lakes that aren't known about that, in my opinion, are just as good, if not better, on most days. Really? So, yeah, we don't have a ton of lakes, but the lakes that we have are extremely unreal. Like, we have tannic color water. We have lakes that are probably like some of the White River mountain lakes, like the Ozarks and stuff, that are like 60, 70 foot of visibility. And you can see a fish come track your bait from like 400 feet away. It's just, and then the next one you go over, it's just all grass. It's a really diverse and very few reservoirs. So they're all natural water. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So, but anyways, you know, we wanted to get you on here because I knew that the Clutch glide baits were going to be big, especially the Boss, right? And the OG and probably the Eco was the big one last year, right? At Murray.
So if I remember correctly, the Darter was the one on Murray last year that they really caught him on. The Eco came out in January of this year. We released it at the East Tennessee Fishing Expo down in Knoxville. The Darter's played a lot. The Boss is finally starting to play a lot, which is like when we were prototyping that thing, I always knew that bait was going to be really special. And like me and a couple buddies have just been catching the crap out of them on it for well over 2 years now. And it's just, we knew it was really good and it's finally starting to catch on where it's like, hey, this thing's pretty good. I think. Yeah.
It's kind of cool too. Like my partner and good friend Bailey on the Sirius Angler Network, he's kind of diving into like the glide bait rabbit hole, right? And he's like, he's like, they'll chew a 9-inch swim bait in New York and he makes them eat it. And I'm like, man, I'm so jealous of that bite. My issue is when I have free days, I end up graphing on Lake Erie for 8 hours looking for new spots. So I don't get to go explore and throw it. I have a glide bait setup. I have a bunch of them just, I just never throw them, unfortunately. Yeah. And all I ever seem to catch are like 40.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, like, oh, like a 9 3/4 inch bait, like the Boss, like we catch a lot of smallmouth on this thing on table.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot. And it's
table
it's,
rock bass are gizzard shad eaters, right?
Yeah. They love themselves some gizzard shad on table rock. But as long as those hooks are in the right spot, so like this front hook and I really the back hook too have really like during the prototyping of the bait really had been everywhere. I had this one further forward, further back, this one further back, further forward. Like they landed on the perfect spot where you've got the optimal hookup ratio. Like we did a lot of testing on that. We did a lot of testing on hooks. We tried bigger hooks, smaller hooks. These are day in and day out the hooks that are supposed to go on it in the right spot to optimize for hookup ratio.
I love that. The R&D sounds like you guys spent a lot of time on every one of
them. Yeah, there's a lot of companies out there that are quick to come out with a lot of baits really fast. And that's, I mean, I think we're slated to have 3 baits released this year. But that's, we haven't released one for well over a year. So like, yeah. we've put a ton of time and research into it. Like, There's a lot of baits behind the scenes that never make the cut. There's a lot of stuff that's like, man, we're so close to figuring out. We're just not there yet.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. I'm like, every time I want to dive into it, I'm like, oh, I got to refrain myself because I'll spend all my guide earnings, which is I guide full time, right? Podcast on the side. But the reason that I want to bring you in, you know, we're in that special time of year where we, depending on where you are in the country, you have pre, post, shad spawn, bluegill eaters. So I kind of wanted to dive into like just overall shallow fishing glide baits. And I want to go through all 4 of your baits.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter which order we go through, but like their specific purpose, like the size, the details, and what makes them so special and where and when you would throw them. Gotcha. So I guess we can start with the OG, right? The first one, I'm assuming.
So, OG is the first bait that the first bait that I designed way back when. It was originally a hand carved bait.
That's cool.
I come from a CAD design background. I don't know why I didn't start with CAD, but started carving it, and it's not the prettiest bait in the world, that's for sure. But and it's really been refined a lot over the years. But it's a choppy style bait, so it's got a really aggressive joint to it.
Those are fun ones. I like choppy ones.
Yeah. But so what a lot of people don't realize is if you weight a choppy bait correct, you can get a really good little soft swim out of it. So like it's easier to make a choppy bait have a little bit better of a
traditional S glide.
Yeah. It's easier to have that, or a choppy bait can do both if it's weighted correctly. A wide glide bait, which I don't really have one here in front of me. I should have grabbed a big bluegill. But so that if that joint's like restricted just barely, it's really hard to make that bait into a really choppy, aggressive style bait. So we kind of tend to design a little bit more towards that choppy bait and then weight it correctly. So that way on that slow, steady retrieve, it's going to have a good slalom in the water. But so the OG, 7 3/4 inches long, weighs 3.1 ounces, rotating hook hangers and everything. It's really good for fishing. I mean, everything that I make is pretty well suited for fishing that shallow cover, but it's that good kind of in between size of like the Eco. The Eco's tiny, so like that's the absolute bite getter. This has a ton of drawing power, but it's not overly big that it kind of deters from bites. So like it's that perfect happy medium where it's got all the drawing power in the world, but it's also got that they'll actually bite it. And maybe not all the drawing power in the world. Like the bigger you go, the more drawing power you have. So like that's going to pull it out of cover like crazy. And that's something we kind of made for fun. I think it was 16 inches long, 24 ounces. they will come out and school at this thing, but they won't bite it.
Yeah. So they want to follow it because they think it's mama.
Yeah, exactly. but that's going to pull them out of cover, and you can see everything out of or anything that's sitting in any kind of cover with a bait that size. Now, the smaller you go, you're going to lose a lot of that drawing power, but they're going to be more apt to bite it. So it's kind of leaning more towards an actual, like, just bite getting, like, traditional, like, okay, why are they biting a spinnerbait? Why are they biting a chatterbait? Because they think it's food and they're trying to eat it. So smaller glide baits kind of tend to lean more that direction, while the bigger you go starts having drawing power. So there's give and take there. And the OG is that good size where it's a little bit of the best of both worlds. So that's the OG.
I like it. So I have a question for you when it comes to like designing it, you know, where the hinge is, right? Where you put the tail and the head, the body. When you're designing that, is it important to have that front head hinge more open or flat so that bait can do both the chop plus get that glide, beautiful S glide when you weight it properly?
Yeah,
like, how important is that?
I don't have an aggressive joint on me here, but so the more open and more flat it is, the more it's going to kick to the side. So if you see that angle, is like it's almost a 90 degree angle, like it's probably 80, 85 degrees right there. That's going to be the mark of a chopper. If it's only moving like that, very, very small, that thing's going to be a lot more of a wide glide bait. So basically, as that bait's coming through the water and it hits that corner right there, it can't really like kick out super, like it kind of sits at that angle until the force of the line gets to the point where it starts pulling it back the other way. And it kind of creates a lot wider, smoother of an angle, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't have that hard aggressive angle, it cuts really easy and is allowed to shoot back the other way a lot faster. So basically, it's all about the corners and how smooth and aggressive that those corners are.
Love it. That's great. So I kind of understand it a little bit, so that allows me to understand better, and I hope my viewers and our viewers here are getting a lot out of this. But I mean, I feel like there's so much technicality to glide bait fishing than just throwing it. Like there's, if you look it up, you can find people that modify them and show you how to modify like just ABS plastic ones. And your baits are all resin poured, correct?
A lot of those videos that are talking about the modifying is making it so that there is more of an aggressive angle to it. So the thing with that, it's easy to assume based off those videos that, you just want as sharp of an angle as possible. And that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of times that really restricted joint performs better in certain situations. Yeah. Below 55 degree water. Well, maybe not 55, maybe a little bit lower than that, 52, 53. I try to work it a little bit slower. So like I'm trying to have that more wide sweeping action. Like I get out of the boss. The boss has a lot better wide slow action to it. And I tend to fish that more in that lower 50 degree range. As we kind of get to that 55, 56 and up, that's when the choppy style baits start playing a lot more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we can... We'll go even a step further. So all of my baits are designed to direct tie, like to be able to function based off the direct tie to the actual bait. We can make this bait act even snappier and choppier if we either put a split ring on the front or put a snap on the front. And I know there's some guys that like putting a snap swivel on the front to prevent the line twists as it comes through the air. But basically, so the way to think about it, so if your line is tied directly to the line tie there, and fluorocarbon's got some rigidity to it, basically. So like it takes some effort for it to bend a little bit. And especially the higher pound test, the more restriction you have there. So if you're throwing 20, 25 pound test, it's going to take a lot more force for that line to bend as opposed to if it's 12 or 15. It's going to be able to bend a lot smoother.
So is that why a lot of people, real fast, I apologize, a lot of people will throw like a Berkeley Trilene Big Game when they're swim bait fishing because it's a little bit more subtle and soft?
In my mind, the Big Game kind of leans more towards the stretch of the mono than the actual, I'm not totally sure if the Big Game's more supple than a lot of fluorocarbons. It kind of makes sense that it would be,
just because the elasticity of mono, right? Like it's got a little bit more give to it. So when you pull it, it might make that bait react just slightly.
Yeah. So softer. In my mind, it acts like a rubber band basically.
Yeah.
So like, as you're working it, and I saw your Alpha Angler hat on, like the wide glide is the best rod for swim baits in my opinion. I love that. I've got three. I love that.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll let Boomer know.
he just sent me a little bit beefier wide glide today for throwing the boss because I was I want something just a little bit heavier. And came in the mail today. I can't wait to throw that thing.
Heck yeah.
But the stretch of the mono acts as a rubber band and almost shoots it a little bit better than a fluorocarbon and way better than what braid would, because braid doesn't have any stretch. Now, the interesting part about like the braid to mono, braid to fluoro type thing is so the braid diameter is smaller, so it's able to cut through the water better. And plus, it also kind of bends on itself a little bit more. So there is the case to be made there that it can help performance a little bit. But that stretch, so the problem is with braid is kind of comes to visibility and casting. I hate casting braid. I throw a frog or something, you cast it, it goes tunk, middle of the air. If you do that with a big, like 4 or 5 ounce bait on a cast, you will snap 50, 60 pound braid on the cast like it's nothing. It just has no shock absorbency. But yeah, kind of what we were talking about with the heavier pound test. So as that bait's working through the water, that line has to bend with it on the way back to the boat. So like as that bait's coming through the water, if it's trying to shoot this way, that line has to circle around and be able to make that angle. So a direct tie is actually increasing the tightness of that line and restricting the motion just a little bit. A split ring or a snap on there helps free that up and allows it to get around the corners a little bit faster. Now, there are times where a direct tie like that and having a smoother action is going to get a lot more bites, especially if you're fishing in largemouth fishery.
Do you ever try like a loop knot?
What was that?
Do you ever tie like a loop knot? Kind of mimic like a swivel or a snap ring?
I'm not big on those. I don't. I've had a couple fail on me in the past, and I'd rather tie the knot that I tie for everything.
Yeah.
On either a snap or a split ring.
So now, is there a preferred snapper split ring that you would recommend to fish with your baits specifically?
Yeah, so pretty much the split rings that I throw on it. They're Swim Bait Underground Supply, size 4s.
Okay.
Size 4 for the bigger ones. If you're throwing an Eco, a size 3. The only issue with the size 3 is the wire diameter for the split ring is 0.072. And when you're putting that split ring on there, it can tend to kind of, it can make that split ring have a little bit of memory where it doesn't fully close back on itself. So size 4 is going to be a little bit better because it can have a little bit more flex without actually bending that wire. If that makes sense.
Makes sense. So you're not negating the strength of the split ring. You're allowing it to stay intact.
Yeah. And the thing that always worried me if I was running a smaller split ring would be like the line would literally slide underneath that that split ring and either hit that sharp point there on that split ring or just completely undo itself throughout the thing. You just cast your bait off and you just bring back a split ring.
It makes sense.
Yeah. But I mean, then you're like, well, why don't you just go with a snap? And it's like, so my preferred snap is a decoy egg snap. I think it's size 3 or 4, I think. I'd have to check my stuff.
No worries.
Yeah. A decoy egg snap. But if you start opening it up, changing baits a lot, you can bend it out.
If you're going to open it up 2 or 3 times and change baits, probably cut it off and take the time to put a new one on.
Yeah, exactly. I've bent those out on way too small a fish before.
Oh boy.
I pushed that one a little far.
Yeah, it happens. So which one do you want to go to next? Since you already mentioned the Eco, should we dive right into the Eco or do you want to talk about the Boss or the Darter?
We can let's go in the progression that we've kind of released some stuff, I think.
Okay.
Let's go Darter. So the second bait we ever came out with was the Darter. It's a herring profile, which also, if I remember right, that's the same profile as like an alewife up north.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So originally designed around like the Lake Hartwells, the Laniers, the Murrays, where they have a lot of blueback herring in there. Lakes that have a lot of blueback herring, they like baits to be able to work super, super fast. So we are talking about the joint on the OG. So again, very wide joint. And one thing you'll notice is that this joint is way back on this bait compared to most glide baits. That's for a very specific reason. So we're trying to decrease the drag of the tail as much as possible. By decreasing the drag on the tail, it allows this head to get around a lot faster and carry a lot more momentum in the water. So basically it allows it to shoot through the water and act super quick and erratic. And this bait also has an internal buoyancy chamber to it. It's actually a material that we have cast inside the actual bait that's close to the buoyancy of balsa.
That's cool.
Basically, like it's more of a, it's a material that has a lot higher buoyancy than we could ever achieve on resin. But the downside to it is you can't have hardware in it. It'll just pull it straight out. So we cast it inside the actual bait, so that way we can put more ballast in the bottom. And actually, we've got about the same amount of ballast in a darter as we do a OG, and there's a lot more resin in an OG. But that all that's just basically to say it stays super stable at really high rates of user input. So you're chopping it like crazy, like an 8-to-1 to 10-to-1 gear ratio, just full turn, half turn, and it just cuts back and forth really, really quick, and it has those corners really, really sharp. So that's the darter. It was a lot to figure out, and there's been several revisions since we've launched it, but that bait's been killer on herring fisheries and alewife fisheries, and in the summertime as well, when those largemouth kind of get post-spawned. So like, kind of think of it as like a subsurface or a swim, like a glide bait meets a like a spook, like a top water walking bait. It's kind of a blend between those two, where you're getting the reaction strike out of that like real quick movement, but it's also got the drawing power of a glide bait.
And how long is the darter? Like, what's the size of the bait?
Yeah, so it's 7 1/4, where the OG, when it varies based on the tail. So the darter is 7 1/4, and then the OG is 7 3/4.
Oh, nice.
It's a lot thinner. It's a lot shorter.
Both have an aggressive chop to it, but the herring is meant to basically be burned, as to where the OG glide is more of a chop bait, like your traditional chop bait.
Yeah. The OG is going to have, it's a slower bait. It's not going to be as super snappy and aggressive. The corners are going to be a little bit softer on it, or the darter is just very quick on those corners.
The darter sounds like it's more fun to fish.
It's really fun. You got a big long cast on it, like I'm 8-to-1 to 10 gear ratio, and you're just, and it's just shooting 2 foot or so on each side, just getting it. It's a really fun bait.
Like, I hope you have video footage of it, but I'm sure you have some insane blows up, like blow ups or eats from Ozark bass, just like wet, like sharking that glide bait down and just disappearing. Yeah. Oh man, that's so cool.
it's a fun bite. Now my favorite bite's probably the Boss though. That's out of all the baits that I made, I've made, like the Boss is kind of my baby. The darter was, so Justin Kimmel, who was working with the Bass University at the time, I was talking with them about a giveaway at one point, started talking with Justin Kimmel, who's just local hammer on Hartwell, fishes those herring lake fisheries all the time. And he was like, man, someone needs to have a really fast, aggressive bait that's designed like a herring. And that's why we started working on the darter.
And it's got that perfect herring shape to it. Oh, long, slender.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, in terms of like the Ozarks and stuff, there's not a herring for hundreds of miles. I think that literally the closest herring lake is probably like Smith Lake in Alabama. Or
something. Do you have threadfin in the Ozarks?
We do have threadfin.
So, I mean, it's kind of similar, just a smaller bait fish, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of what the eco is a little bit more targeting, is more of a threadfin. So like OG is a little bit of that happy medium between gizzard and threadfin. This is more threadfin. The Boss, which we'll talk about in a bit, is gizzard shad. And then we've got kind of our herring profile.
Yeah.
Love it. And then we just dipped our toe in the water with bluegill stuff too, with the
oh boy.
So
you don't have to say it, but I'm sure that might be something that's coming here in the near future.
Oh, it's already out. It's available on Tackle Warehouse. It's actually a wake bait.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So it's a collaboration bait that we did with them. I think it's been out for a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks by now. Yeah.
Shows you how much I pay attention to the Tackle Warehouse website, right?
Paying attention to that Omnia stuff.
Yeah, I'm always on Omnia. Well, like, I don't know if you know, like, if you pay attention to Omnia and their premium pro membership that they have, like, and you go in and they have all the different, like, lake temps and vegetation markers and weather apps. Like, it's cool. I find myself, I'm on the lake just looking at that the whole time, even when I'm like idling. So it's hard for me to deviate. And Tech Warehouse has some incredible product. All these websites do. It's just hard for me to leave the Omnia.
You find that the site that you're jiving with the best, and it kind of fits your needs the best, and it's, you don't really deviate outside of it. I hear you.
Or I buy stuff from Japan a little too much. So like, but yeah. So anything else you want to touch on the darter real fast before we move on to the next one? It seems like it's a little bit more of a specific bait for specific areas, but I'm sure it works all over the country.
it does work all over the country. Like there's been the there's been some bites on that thing on TVA that have been insane. It works in the Ozarks really well. You don't have to have herring or alewives in your bodies of water to be able to fish it and catch a lot of fish on it. Like once we start getting into that June, July time frame, like this, the darter's always on, like, especially in bone like this, is always on my deck. Yeah. I always have one tied on because like it just, they seem to really key in on that really fast, aggressive moving bite. And it's, like I said, it's kind of like an underwater top or walk the dog style bait meets glide bait. Yeah.
That's too much fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's a really, really fun bait. And it does some stuff that I feel like there's no other swim bait out there on the market that can do. And it's because of that internal buoyancy chamber. And just, you don't find too many baits that are that profile, that are that thin, that work like this bait does. It defies a lot of things what people thought was possible with resin swim baits.
Hopefully my wife doesn't watch this. I feel like when baits come into stock, I'm going to go broke. Because now I need some. It's all
and
good.
The darter is the most expensive bait we make.
Yeah.
And it's because it does have that internal buoyancy chamber. It's very hard to work with. A lot. It takes – we can probably make 4 or 5 ecos to one darter.
It's crazy when you think about like the custom lure building of a glide bait is that every one of them is just a little bit different.
Yeah.
So awesome. So which one do you want to move on to now? The Boss or the Eco?
The next one that we came out with at that time was the Boss.
Okay.
This is, like I said before, this is kind of my baby. I come from a big swim bait fishing background before I even started making swim baits. So this is my baby. 9 3/4 inches long. It's quite a bit bigger than the darter. You can kind of see there. It's for hunting those bigger fish. So it's kind of built like it's got a little bit tighter angle to it than like the OG. It still gets really chunky.
A little bit better. Yep.
It's going to have a little bit more of that wide, smooth action, just a little bit better than the Boss or the darter. Now the big thing with this bait. So a lot of big baits like this, they're built kind of like a 2x4, just a block. And this thing is super, super thin. I don't know if you can kind of see that.
Really yeah, low. Yeah.
But like it's a very, very it's mirrored. Sorry, it's very thin compared to a lot of blockier style baits, and that's for a very specific reason. Gizzard shad are not built like bricks. They're very thin throughout their belly. And one thing that's super important, especially while fishing these largemouth, is like you want them to feel that that bait is real. So like they see it, it's a big bait that's just moving lazily up at the surface or just subsurface. But they want to feel that in their lateral line that that's a real fish. So like that really thin profile puts off that feeling in that lateral line that they can feel. And they're like, all right, that's feeling like a gizzard shad. It's looking like a gizzard shad. I might as well go bite it. It's got a little divot right here that it's really hard to tell.
Well, I can see it.
It's got a little bit of a divot right here. And that's for a very specific reason. As this bait's coming through the water, the way the water foils off that thing right there almost provides just a slight shimmy in the water when it comes. It's very, very hard to see, but it's just super, super slight. And I'm a big believer that secondary action is one of the biggest things that actually gets fish to come in.
Yeah. It's like when you rest it and as it's slowly falling, it just slightly lists and rocks back and forth.
Not as much that as much as it is when it's shooting out to the side. It's got just a slight quiver as it's moving.
Oh,
but that secondary action is why we do the brush tail as well. So like as water flows over those bristles, it almost collapses down a little bit. And when you pop the bait out to the side to stop it, it flares. Just like what a gizzard shad does when it stops. So when a gizzard shad's moving through the water really fast, all their fins are compressed down. They're moving real quick. Their fins are compressed down. And when they stop, they just flare out. It's like they're putting on the brakes. And brush tails really emulate that very, very well. The little quivers that's coming through the water. Just everything about this bait is designed to really feel natural, look natural, and get those fish to react.
Where would you throw the Boss? Like if you're going down a lake and you pick up the Boss, right? Your baby, yeah. And you're like, this is the prime spot to throw this bait. Where would you be throwing it?
So if it very much varies time of year, But overall, if you're targeting like bluff ends, if you're targeting like look for the spot, like the most obvious spot possible. Like if you're fishing docks or grass or whatever, like a main lake point. I'm trying to make it as broad as possible across the board. So whether you're on Gunnersville or whether you're on Table Rock, you're still able to kind of figure it out. But like you look at your mapping and you're like, I bet there's one there. That's the place to start throwing.
Yeah.
And the way it comes weighted is a slow sink for fishing rather shallow. But the Boss is becoming probably like my number one live scope bait. So we'll just wrap some lead around that front hook hanger. If you really want to make it fall fast, do quite a bit of lead here and just a little bit here. You definitely don't want to add too much lead to the back. Otherwise, it'll kind of start doing that, and then it starts not necessarily swimming right. So we'll add lead there, and we'll fish it over brush piles a ton. You bring this 3-4 foot above a brush pile, and you're going to see what lives in that brush pile.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah. They might not eat it every time, but it's going to pull it. And you're like, oh, yeah. Boy.
Like, wintertime is the one time of year where they kind of get off that bite a lot. They start really targeting really, really small bait. But anytime after, like post-spawn, all the way up until wintertime, if you're fishing piles, you have to have a glide bait on. Yeah. If they're biting it that day, you want to be throwing it.
Because you're going to get the biggest fish off of each pile, hopefully.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or one of them that helps you in the tournament. Yeah. So, all right. Anything else on the Boss you want to touch before we move on to the Eco?
I think we're good. Ready to move on to the Eco?
Yes, sir.
All right. So the Eco is a bait that we came out with this January. Small little bait, 6 1/4 inches long, weighs 1 3/4 ounces. So small little guy. It's a little bit faster sink than all of our other baits. It's basically the thing with this bait is we tried to make it so that we could make them at a rate that, guys are talking out there. So 6 1/4 inches long, a little bit faster sink, perfect beginner style swim bait. It comes in at $95. So it's a lot cheaper of a bait. Like the Darter, which is $235, this thing comes in at $95. The paint on this thing is crazy durable. Like we figured out a process to be able to bake the paint actually into the bait itself.
This one I think I saw like pictures of like chipping at it and stuff.
Oh, yeah, we've hit it with a pair of metal side dikes. We've ran it over with trucks, like trying to get these things beat up. And the paint, like you literally have to chip resin away in order to make the bait look.
That's incredible.
Not what it is right now. So we designed it around efficiency, trying to figure out how to bring the most value for a bait possible to whether you're a beginner guy, advanced guy, tournament guy, because it's great tournament size. Whatever skill range you're at, this bait's going to have its spot in your arsenal, basically. And again, trying to bring it to you super, super, super durable bait at a more affordable price tag. So this is a little bit choppier style of a bait. As you can see, it's got that tight angle to it. Or it's got that close to 90 degree angle to it. It's just, it's that perfect size for getting a ton of bites. And this bait really, really excels in the fall. A lot of guys are catching a lot of fish on it this spring. I've gotten a lot of pictures of really big fish caught in this thing, and they don't even know what's coming. They haven't thrown it in the fall yet. When they get targeting those smaller thread fins, this bait's insane.
Oh, boy. And that's because you've been able to play around with it for a while. So you already, you already know the power of it.
Oh, yeah. We've had it for a while.
Oh, man, yeah. That's incredible.
Be forewarned, guys. This bait in the fall is insane.
Oh, man. Here goes my wallet now. Thanks. So, you're fine.
For the given situation. And, like, we're always coming up on new situations where it's like, we want that bait for that particular instance. And then once we build it for that instance, we're able to find it for a lot side of uses outside of those given little niches. So,
I like baits that are versatile. So that's good to know. Mm-hmm. So anything else on the Eco you want to touch on before we ask you a few more questions before we wrap up?
I think we're good on the Eco. It's a bike getter. It's going to start being available for retailers. We're going to kind of make it available for retailers around ICAST, Right now, we're just kind of doing drop exclusives. Okay. We'll have one. I think it's next Tuesday or something, whatever date that is.
So mark your calendars and go to the Clutch Swim Bait website and make sure you order some.
It's on the 21st. If this comes out after the 21st, sorry.
It'll actually be out tomorrow morning, so people will hear it before the 21st. So that's exciting. Do you guys normally do drops on Tuesdays, I'm assuming, then? You just did one 3 days ago, too, right?
Yeah, we kind of lean towards either Tuesdays or Thursdays, and we kind of stick around that 4:30 mark. It seems that's worked best for us. So try to get it so that people are off. And that's 4:30 Central Time. It's like 5:30
Eastern or 3:30 Pacific, right?
Yeah, we try to make it in a time where it's not like you've got a bunch of family time going on. Like if it's at the very end of work, you just – as you step out of the office in the car or something, like try to make it as the most accessible time to guys possible. But there's no time that works for everyone. So I apologize for that.
Yeah, it is what it is, right? So, All right. So as we jump along here, just a couple more questions for you. But my question is, you know, there's all these elaborate paint schemes out there for all these different swim baits. I want to know if you had to choose two colors of each bait, and it could be the same color for each one. Why would you recommend these two color patterns, and when would you throw them?
Gotcha. Okay. So in my mind, like I keep this super, super simple. In my mind there, and this is all the baits. There's bone. You have to have a bone. Like, so a lot of people think like, okay, just bare white like that. It's not supernatural, but you put this thing in the water and it almost glows in the water, basically. And it always been one of my top producing colors for a long time. And I never quite understood it until I saw it on Lake of the Ozarks one day, and it just like popped in my mind. So there's a bunch of gizzard shad up shallow, just kind of roaming bluff ends. And I saw every once in a while, I'd see one that just really stood out to me. And I was like, what's up with that one? And I noticed like it was always a little bit slower, a little bit further behind. And it was a dying gizzard shad. And when gizzard shad die, and really all bait fish in general, any fish in general, as they start to die, they start to get pale white. Like they lose all their pigment in their sides, especially as they get sick and everything, and they glow in the water. Like they literally stand out. And I think that's what a bone glide bait really emulates well, is just a dying bait fish up there just on its last leg, just kind of sweeping back and forth, just not looking super well. So bone is my number one go-to color. I'll throw it all the way up until 3.5-4 feet of water or visibility. A lot cleaner water than a lot of people probably would think of to get away with it. But then once we kind of start getting beyond that, my favorite color is like this kind of purple color. As you can see, there's a little bit of gold in there.
Emulates a gizzard shed perfectly.
Yep. And I mean, purple, color like this, which is nat shad, like any of those is good. So basically I'm looking for something natural and I'm looking for something bare bone. And I don't get in too much into the really super elaborate paint schemes. Like it seems like the swim bait world nowadays is kind of like, I made the joke, it's kind of turning into the loofah wars. The bathroom loofahs that everyone has.
Yeah, like pink, green, blue, dark blue, purple, lilac. Yeah.
All the custom painters are buying a bunch of those bathroom loofahs out there and putting them on embroidery hoops and putting them over baits. And it's who can use a loofah the best. And I don't really get into that too much because it's a very, very inefficient process. Seems like no matter which way we go about it, it's not super efficient. And look, the biggest gripe with custom made handmade swim baits is like, you can't get them. You've got to operate off drops, or you've got like, and the bait maker will only do like 3-4 drops a year. And like, you throw that bait, you lose it. And you're like, man, I was relying on that for that tournament next week. Like, what am I supposed to do now? Like he's got another drop coming up in 3 months and I may not even get one. So like availability is the biggest issue with swim baits. And we try not to do that. Like we try to make our baits more readily available, where if you want a bait, you can get one. That's really what we focus on. And when we focus on that, we can't really do super, super elaborate paint schemes. I want to focus on a paint scheme that is going to catch a bass first and a fisherman second, not just fisherman first and try to make the most charismatic looking swim bait possible.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm going to catch a lot of heat for that. I probably didn't make any friends saying that.
Oh, I mean, that's fine. Everyone's allowed to have their own opinion. Me personally, I want like bone, maybe something that's got like some chartreuse and white on it for like
smallies.
A sunny day. Yes, yeah, smallies. And then I'm looking, I actually have like a little glide bait box over here. Then something that we have a lot of trout in our water as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of gizzard shad colors and trout patterns will kind of work the same because
oh, yeah.
That pink hue, right? So like yep. Something that's translucent, kind of gizzard shaddy works really good up here where I'm at.
Yeah.
So those are like the three color patterns that I tend to go with. Everyone's like, you need perch, you need bluegill. I'm like, no, you really don't. My like bluegills are white a lot of the times when
yeah
up here. So it's like a white bait's gonna emulate a bluegill just fine.
Yeah. So. I always go back. I don't know if you've watched the Bass University at all in the past, like they've been a huge thing about, or I subscribed to it way back when. And I remember one thing, John Cruz had one thing where he kind of broke down about what matters to make a fish bite. And in his list, color was all the way at the bottom of like seven different attributes. Color was last place. And the more I thought about it, the more I fished, the more I kind of realized like that's, for the most part, it's pretty true. Like,
yeah. Well, I feel like bait companies put colors out there to make us buy them, right? Yeah. Like, because they want to make more profit. And when I pull up, when I open up my box and I go in, I'm like, well, I'm just going to grab a green pumpkin worm because they're going to buy a green pumpkin. So,
like, now, don't get me wrong. There's sometimes where, like, that motor oil chartreuse tail, like, that's the color. But, like, those times are fairly rare where most of the time just it's going to green pumpkin. So.
Yeah. I love it. So, we'll kind of move on there and we'll wrap it up. I just want to know like an entry level and an expert level, like swim bait enthusiast setup from like rod, reel, line setup, and something that can kind of cover the entire broad spectrum. I know there's not one rod that does everything well, but something in the middle, because I'm sure you've tested just about every rod on the market, right? In reel. So like, I just want to know, like, if there's a recommended setup for entry-level swim bait fishermen, and then what you would recommend more of an expert glide bait fisherman to use to fish these baits.
Do they have Dobbins available at?
Okay. They do.
Gotcha. So Dobbins Fury 806 SB is the rod I recommend guys start out with. Like, that's the best beginner level swim bait rod. Now, that being said, the Alpha Angler Wide Glide, that's my baby. I've got three of them. That is, in my opinion, the best swim bait rod out there. Like, it's insane. Like, everything about that rod is great. But, yeah, the Dobbins Fury 806 SB is the best beginner swim bait rod. It's around that $100, $120 range, kind of depending when you're shopping the Memorial Day sales and stuff like that. So it's kind of in there. So that's that. In terms of reel, so the high end, I'm gonna start out with high end, Daiwa Tatula 300, the 300 size reel. That's in my mind the best swim bait reel. Now you gotta think about spool size here. Spool size makes a big difference. So the bigger the spool, the more power you're gonna have. So think of it like an old school or just like a mountain bike. The lower your gear, the more power you're gonna have. So like a 6.3 to 7.3 to 1 with a spool that's that big, like every turn, so like if it's a 6.3 to 1, that spool is spinning 6.3 times per one revolution. Well, if your spool's that big, that's gonna be a lot more line pickup than a spool that's that big. So like a 100, 150 size spool. So bigger spool, more power, more inches per turn. So like a 6.3 to 1 on a 300 size is going to start acting more like a 7.3 to 1 or an 8 to 1 on a 100 to 150 size. So back to that Dobbins Fury 806 SB rod. So really any reel in that 100, 150 size spool is going to be fine to start with. You're probably going to get overpowered by some fish, but I wouldn't go with a 6.3 to 1 there. I'd bump it up to a 7.3 to 1 to an 8 to 1 on the smaller reel. So that way you've got the inches per turn of a bigger reel. That way you can work the bait, you can get choppy with it, and you can still really control it. I just feel like a lot of people think big swim baits, they think 5.6 to 1 or 5.4 to 1 speed reel, and you just don't have that speed to really work the bait like it kind of should be. And if you get a big fish on it, it kind of makes a run towards you. You're sitting there trying to play catch up, and it's really, really hard.
No good.
Yeah.
It's always easier to slow down with a faster reel than it is to speed up with a slow reel.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think for Dobbins for 806 SB, Daiwa Tatula 150 and a 7.3 to 1, high-end combo, the Alpha Angler Wide Glide with a Daiwa Tatula 300 and a 6.3 to 1. That's
now. Have you ever used like the Tranks as well, like a Shimano Tranks?
I've never been a big Shimano guy. I love my Daiwas.
Fair enough.
It seems like there's two camps. There's Shimano's and there's Daiwa people, and I've always been on the Daiwa side. But I know a lot of people really like the Tranks. If you like it, roll with it. It's whatever you're gonna have the most confidence in. Now, in terms of line, 20-pound mono, I throw the big game almost all the time, whether that's on the cheap combo or the expensive combo. It's what, $6 for 300 yards? It's
if not more.
I
think they used to sell it at Walmart for like the 600 yard spools for like $8.99 or something ridiculous.
That's the stuff. You like that stretches a mile. It's great.
So beautiful. So Josh, before I let you go here, is there anything else you want to touch on that you think would be important that we might've missed?
Oh, should be good. I'll tease it this way. We should have one more bait released this year. It's unlike anything else that's out on the market.
Oh boy.
There's not too many teasers out there of that right now. We've kind of kept it really close to the vest, but it's completely different than anything else that's out there. And I'm excited for you guys to see it.
Well, for those who have tuned in at this 46 minute mark, big news, right? Teaser coming, like unprecedented news here on the Lure Lab. So we appreciate that, Josh. And hopefully it's a good drop. Can't wait to see the new bait that comes out. And thanks for taking the time from the busy bait building schedule to hop on here. And I hope you get out soon and go catch some big bass and we'll chat.
Me too.
All right, man.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And you have a good day now.
You too. We'll see.
Thanks. Yep. Bye now. All right, everyone. Well, what an episode that was, diving into Clutch Swim Bait Company, talking about the four glide baits that they have on the market, plus a bluegill bait. And you have to go search on that website to find it. But that was awesome talking about the shallow glide bait bite. I know we didn't dive into that all too much, but I think all these baits will do it and serve a purpose based on what you're looking for and how to target. And when you're glide bait fishing, you're just looking for that trophy big bite most of the time. Or if you want to grab the eco and just catch numbers on any given day, that would be a good process as well. Thank you, Josh, for joining us here on the Lure Lab today. Greatly appreciate it. And if you're new here on YouTube and you're tuned in, please hit that subscribe button if you made it this far. Leave a comment down below if you've used a Clutch glide bait or if there's any glide baits that you like to use on the market. I look forward to seeing those. And once again, if you're on a podcast platform and your favorite one, they allow you to leave a review, please do so. And stay tuned for next week's episode. We will see you then.